Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. As we look at your word, O Lord, have your Holy Spirit move amongst us, helping us to understand and to see what you have to say to us and why these particular portions of Scripture. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, and Lord, help us to live this day and every day to you and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 through 38. And as we look at this, we look at it and we say, this is the birth of announcing the birth of Jesus Christ, which seems to be a Christmas text, yet we find in Lent that he had to be born in order to die. He had to be born, and therefore we want to go through just a little bit of his birth and the things that goes on in life itself. So let us turn to Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 26. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we go back a long way, all the way to the book of Genesis, if we want to find out about the birth of Christ. And to find out that God, in Genesis 3:15, was the first place in Scripture where he promised that he would send us a Savior, that he would send us one who was willing to come on his own to reconcile us back to Jesus Christ, or to God. And in that reconciliation, it was God himself that came down and lived amongst us for those 33 years, gave himself up to pay that penalty of sin for us. As we go back into Numbers, and we see here that the Israelites had been taken out of Egypt, and they were crossing the wilderness, going into the promised land. God told them, you do not go across any country without permission. They had asked the Edomites, can we cross your land? We're going to do it peacefully. We will not destroy your crops. We will not take anything that don't belong to us. And they said, no, you cannot do it. So God says, tells Moses, you have to go around. And if you study history at all, you'll find Edom goes back to Esau and even back further to Ishmael. And so these are the Arabs of today. And we find that God says the countries that will not let you pass through them, I will punish them. And so we find that in history throughout how many of them have been punished, it seems like over and over or continuous punishment because they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And so they went around Edom. In this journey, we got to realize that the Israelites wandered for 40 years. They wandered 1 year for each day that the 12 spies had went into Israel to see what type of a land it was and if it was good or not. They came back with grapes and fruit, and they said, this is what we find. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And God says, I will give you that land, and I will give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I will give you homes to live in that you didn't build, and all of these things if you follow me and worship me, and I am your God. You are my chosen people. Yet they went, the Israelites says, we will go with these 10 people that says, don't go in there. They are giants, and we would be as grasshoppers. Caleb and Joshua says, let's go up and take it. God is with us. But the people wouldn't listen. So they wandered another 40 years in the wilderness. In that 40 years, we find that they were complaining. And as they complained about where they were going and how they were moving about, God says, because you don't like what it is, I have given you shoes that do not wear out. I have given you clothes that do not wear out. And for 40 years, I've taken care of you. And then they complained about the manna. Yet that manna or that bread from heaven had all the nourishment in it that they needed to keep healthy and to keep on going. Yet they complained because it wasn't right. They complained so much, God says, okay, if you want meat, we will send you meat. And he sent them quails. And they were so hungry for the meat that they ate it raw, and they got very sick, and many of them died. And that's a different story. But we find here that they come to Moses then, and they says, Moses, we've sinned against God, and we've sinned against you because we've complained. Pray to God to take care of us. And so Moses goes, and he prays to God, and God says, I'll tell you what to do. You take and you will set up. Well, before that, God had sent serpents in amongst their crowd, and then the serpents bit these people. Many of them died. And so as they came to Moses, God told Moses, set a serpent up on a post and set it up high that people, if they're bit by a serpent, they can look at this one on the post and they will be healed. And so they had to look, feeling in faith that they would be healed. When we look at the cross, we see Jesus Christ risen on the cross, lifted up from the earth, and he was crucified for you and for me. And it's what he did on that cross of Calvary that makes us free from sin as we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, because he paid that penalty on that cross, and he paid that penalty for sin that we could never pay. He broke that bondage for us of sin. He healed the sick. He brought people back to life. And he did all kinds of miracles, including feeding many thousands and thousands of people. Yet even the people of that day did not and would not accept him as the Son of the living God. And we find that many of them also died. We find that many of them turned against him. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we'll talk a little bit about that also there. We find that the people wanted it their own way. And that's what the way it was with the Israelites in the wilderness. Then we find Ahaz. He was a king, and he wanted to do things his own way, and he didn't want to listen to God. God sends him Isaiah the prophet, and God says to Ahaz, I will show you a sign. Ask me of a sign, either on the earth, beneath the earth, above the earth, and I will give it to you. And Ahaz, he sits there, well, I don't need to ask a sign of God, and I'm not going to test God. Smart man, maybe. But he wanted to do it his own way. God says, I will send you a sign. I will send you a sign that you will have a child or a son given to you, and it will be born of a virgin. Some 700 years later, Jesus is born. We say, Ahaz didn't see that. No, he didn't. But Ahaz had to be taken down a notch, if you want to call it that, and make realize that he was not in charge. It's God who is in charge. God takes and gives us each day, and he says, I want you to not only number your days, I want you to plan your days out, how you can serve me in different ways, whether it's at home, amongst your working friends and neighbors, in your businesses or whatever it is. How can you serve me that when I give you an opportunity to serve, that you can do it and people will see God's glory in you and realize that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We find in many things that happening in the world, as we were talking about a little earlier, we have the peace of God which passes all understanding in our heart and our lives. And so we know we can have that peace even in a troubled world. We can know that when the Son of God was born, he would be given the throne of David, and that's coming. And we can find that we know our redemption is drawing near, is even at the door. It is just about upon us. We see the evil going around us so much, yet we have to trust in Jesus Christ. Think of the people that smuggle Bibles into Northern Korea and other places. If they get caught, they're automatically thrown in jail for many, many years, and many of them die there. Yet to them, it's more important for them to get the Word of God out to their fellow men than it is of their own life. They're willing to follow Christ regardless of the cost. They're willing to do God's will. We find in our scripture text today that Gabriel came to Mary. When she came in, evidently when we were in Israel, they have a well in Nazareth where people would draw water. And some people says it's at the well that Gabriel talked to Mary. It says in scripture when she came in. So she came back from drawing water or wherever she had been, and Gabriel was there. And he says to her, you are favored amongst all women. You know, if you go back to Gideon, Gideon was hiding in the bushes and trying to harvest a little grain for to keep him and his family alive. And the angel comes to him and says, Hail, thou man of valor. And Gideon, what do you mean, a man of valor? I'm hiding because I don't want the Philistines and the Midians to come and take my crop. And Gideon says, if you're really from the Lord, I need a sign. And God says, what kind of a sign do you want? And he says, I'm going to lay a fleece of wool out here, and in the morning I want the ground to be wet and that wool to be dry. So God says, okay, no problem. So the ground was wet and the wool was dry. And Gideon says, Lord, I don't mean to be unbelieving, but can I ask one more thing? And God says, what's that? Make the wool wet and the ground dry tomorrow morning. And so the next morning, the ground is dry. I can see it crusty, and maybe the grass is drying up. And he takes that wool and he wrings out water, maybe a gallon, who knows. But he says, Lord, you are telling me the truth. I will do what you want. And he went out to free Israel from the Midianites. And we find that Gideon then became a man of valor, and he was one God could use. Mary was a woman that was willing to be used by God. We find Zacharias doubted Gabriel when he came. And Gabriel says, because you doubt, I will tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to be mute and you can't speak until the child is born. When John the Baptist was born, Elizabeth says, they asked Elizabeth, you know, you're older, you've been barren, now you have a son, you're going to name it Zacharias, aren't you? She says, no, it's going to be named John. And I can imagine they argued with her. And she says, I told you the name is John. And so they hand Zacharias a tablet and he says, and a pencil, what do you want him named? And he says, John. And immediately his voice was given back to him, and he prophesies about the goodness of God and how God has visited the people, that he is sending his only begotten son into the world to die for the sins of the world, because we could not pay our own sin. We could not pay that debt. And that when we look at what Christ went through on the cross of Calvary, we find that he was beaten to a pulp. He was beaten, he was put a crown of thorns on his head, and it wasn't set there just lightly. It was pushed down, I am sure, and it had to the place where blood would come out. He was stripped of his clothes. He was mocked and beaten for you and for me. And all of this shows the sin that people have in their heart and in their life, that they took it out on Christ. They beat him. They spit on him. They slapped him. They made fun of him and everything like that, because they wanted things the way Satan wants them to have it. Look at today and don't think of tomorrow. Look at today and don't think of eternity. Look at today and forget that your soul will live forever. Your physical body dies and your soul continues to live, and your soul will be reunited, immortal, and you will live forever. You have a choice of heaven or hell. You have a choice of good or bad. And in it, you make that choice, and that's how you live. You see, Christ died for each one of us, but we are that world. Each one of us is a world that God, Christ died for. He died for you. He died for me. When we talk about the world, we think of a whole group of people, but yet think about yourself. You are the world that Christ came and died for. You are the world that God sent his only begotten Son in to come into. Without faith, you will not be saved, he tells us. Jesus says the work of God is to believe on the Son of the living God. And we find that John tells us that these things are written that we may believe. and that we may have eternal life. And the only way we can have that eternal life is if we are willing to give our lives over to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am yours. Use me to further your kingdom, not only here, but further, and people will see you in me and glorify you. We find God sometimes has to try us. He has to give us testing to keep us humble and to make sure that the pride of the world and the lust of the world does not overtake us, but that we keep our hearts and our lives in him and through him in all that he say does. We find that Jesus came. He did not mingle with those and worldly things. He says, I have been sent by my Father, and I will speak the words that my Father has given me. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets onto the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven given in which man can be saved except through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And not only on the cross of Calvary, but that he rose again on the third day, which is Easter, 2 weeks from now. And we find that in that Easter rising, that all glory broke loose and a new covenant has begun, that Jesus has come, and in faith we can have trust in Christ and Christ alone, and Christ will save us, and he will walk with us, he will keep us, he will help us as we go through life. He will keep us in such a way that we will be able to serve him even in a troubled world. And we see troubles coming in this world beyond measure, troubles that we have never thought about. And yet those troubles may affect us in many, many different ways. But remember, Jesus came, he died for you, he died for me, and in that death, he gave us eternal life as we trust and have faith in what he did on the cross of Calvary, that he not only died there for our sins and paid that penalty, but he rose again to show Satan that he was victorious over sin, over death, and over anything that the devil could give, that all glory goes to him. All glory belongs to him. And it is through him and him alone that we have eternal life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us to serve you and to do your will, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 193.